We're going to talk a little bit this morning about that life and what that means, that Jesus is alive, in just a little bit of a different part of Scripture to kind of get us to that point of Jesus' resurrection. But this morning we're talking about Jesus is alive, and that's a true statement that is very well said, but it's also important to note that Jesus is not just alive, that he's risen. There's a lot of people right now that are alive, but Jesus is the one who is risen, 3 days in the grave and risen. And it's important that we understand the difference, that not just alive, but also risen, because risen demonstrates a type of power over a natural occurrence that was doomed to every human to die. Jesus demonstrated power over death and actually rose. And we're going to talk about that this morning. In order to get there, we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus has with a man walk in the middle of the night. And a strange conversation that Jesus has with someone in the middle of a night. A very strange conversation, actually, when you see what Jesus talks about and kind of leaves the man confused, like, what are you talking about? This is weird. But the man comes in the middle of the night because he's a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, well, they didn't exactly agree with Jesus. And so this man thought, let me come talk to Jesus when no one else is around, because I'm seeing what you're doing, Jesus. And I know that the only way that you're able to do that is unless God is with you. That's what this Pharisee recognized that. And so he even said at one point, I know you're from God, and no one can do these signs unless God is in that person. So this Pharisee had some right thinking in him. But Jesus came to give him some further explanation about what he's thinking here. So there's this conversation that happens in John chapter 3. We're going to read it and starting at verse 1. There was a Pharisee, and his name was Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with that person. And Jesus answered him, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, or born or new, or most translations say born again. So this is where Nicodemus is like, what? What are you talking about? You got to be born again. That doesn't make sense. How is that physically possible? And Nicodemus goes in to ask him that. How can anyone be born after having grown old? How can one a second time enter the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. And what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. So we learn a couple of things here about human bodies. We learn that we're made of flesh, right? Every person's made of flesh. There's blood. But we also learn that there is a soul in every person. Not just what is physically seen, but there's a soul. Now, this is where it gets difficult, because medicine and science have tried to come up with a reason to describe, is there a soul? But we know from Scripture, and we know that there is a soul, that while it may not be seen with our eyes, there is a soul in each of us. There's an intuition that begins to understand the morality, right and wrong, and all of those are governed by a sense of what it means to have a soul. So Jesus tells them, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above, or you must be born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Now this is important to recognize here for a minute. How many of you have ever seen with your eyes wind? You can see the effects of wind, but you don't see wind. You can see what wind does. You can see what happens when there's a tornado or there's a hurricane and there's these gale force winds and what happens when there's strong wind, but you're not seeing the actual wind. And it's the same way what Jesus is describing here. You're not seeing the Spirit. You're not putting your eyes upon the Spirit, but you can certainly know the effects of when you've been born of the Spirit. So he goes on to say, so how can these things be? So you're telling me I got to be born again, in other words, what Nicodemus is saying. I got to live, I got to somehow embrace this thing about being born again, whatever that means. How is that possible? Like, what do we do here to make that possible? So Jesus gives him a little instruction. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" Well, that seems right, right? If you're not understanding earthly things, how are you going to understand something you can't even see with your eyes, is what Jesus is saying. "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, and the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And he's speaking of his death, that he would soon die upon a cross. Jesus lifted up upon a cross. And this is important, that understand that Jesus died a death upon a cross. And the cross was a Roman symbol of death. It was a horrible, tragic death that put nails in his hands. And this is also important to remember, that Jesus had nails that went in his hands, both hands. He had nails that went in his feet, and he had a spear driven into his side. Why is that important? Well, because you're going to read later on about the resurrection story, and you're going to read that people saw Jesus, but he looked different. He had a heavenly body. He looked different. But somehow they still were able to see holes in his hands. Now that's unique. Here he is, a heavenly body, but they're still able to identify he died a gruesome death. There's holes. There's something missing. And as a matter of fact, there's not just holes. The Bible says that Thomas was doubting and he didn't believe it. And so Jesus said, "Why don't you put your finger right here in the hole and see for yourself?" So he got actual evidence. And this is important, and why that is because we know later on in Revelation, we see this picture that the Bible talks about, that the centerpiece of worship of heaven is a lamb. The lamb, not just any lamb, but the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And that his sacrifice is not just praised for here and now, for the life we have, but it's praised for all of eternity. And the nail prints and the scars that were left in his hands and his feet and in his side are evidence of the love that he poured out for you and I. So it's not to be forgotten. That's why they didn't disappear when he had a heavenly body. So he goes on to say these famous verses that most people know, and this is what we're going to really get at later on. Most people know these verses. They've heard this. You could say, if there's one Bible verse, maybe you don't know all the words to it, but you could tell me. They could say, John 3:16. I've heard that one, I think. What does John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Those are good words, but it doesn't end there. "God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, in order that the world might be saved through him." Well, that's important to understand. And let's just go ahead and dispel a lie before we get any deeper into this. God is not after to condemn anybody. God is not after to punish anybody. God is not after to put anybody in hell. That's not God's desire. He says it right here. "I don't want to condemn you." That's not the plan for humanity. That's not it. He came so that we might be rescued, right? It's as if there, yesterday I was driving and I got stuck in a lineup of traffic in Williamsburg, and I was just, it was took forever to get through, and we passed this horrible accident. It looked like a car had rolled over multiple times. And in that accident, if the person, I didn't see the person or anything, but if the person was in the vehicle and the firefighters and paramedics showed up and they came to get them out, and he said, "No, don't get me out," that's his choice. That's the man's choice, but they're going to do their job anyways. And he came to save us. He's wanting it. It's as if he's showing up at the scene of an accident. He's wanting to help us, but he's inviting you. Let him help you. "So those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So we learn a lot about this. Jesus unloads a lot. He's talking to Nicodemus. He gives this like huge spiritual thing about being born again. So what does all this mean? So this morning I'm going to talk to you about born to live. Born to live. All of us here, we were born into this world. I can remember like yesterday holding my baby daughter, brand new. She was born. And I was holding her in her arms. Life, beautiful, precious. There's nothing like a newborn. There's just something special about that moment, right? Even in our minds, we're chemically wired. Mothers and fathers are chemically wired to develop a chemical bond upon seeing that child. It's the way we are wired. But in the same way as birth is natural, so is death. And death is also a time that comes, and all of us, we are born to die. All of us here. All of us have a time. We're going to live life, and eventually there's a time where death is imminent, and it will come upon all of us. That's how we know it. But Jesus tells us something different here. He talks about being born to live, being born again. A crazy concept that it sounds in Nicodemus's mind, he's like trying to get his mind around this phrase that he hasn't had thousands of years to theologically unpack. He hasn't had that luxury. He's trying to understand in the moment, like born again, what in the world are we talking about? So Jesus begins to understand. So a couple of things we're going to understand about what it means to be born to live. Number one is Jesus says clearly here in John 3:3, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again, or born from above, or born anew. So here's one truth we can learn about this, is that God's desire for everyone in this room is to see the kingdom of God. That's God's desire. He wants you to see the kingdom of God. And you think like, what is the kingdom of God? Well, it's big, it's vast, it's majestic. We're not going to get into all that right now. But he gives another truth here. No one can see it without being born again. And so this is the first thing. If you want to be born to live, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now that sounds basic. So what does Jesus mean? Jesus was coming in a time of religious idolatry, a time of religious culture. It was constant religion. It was all about doing things to try to earn some type of status with God. It was this understanding that most people have. If I do something wrong, then there's so many good actions that will cover up for my wrong. I make a mistake at work and I kind of messed up somebody's job, and so I'm going to go buy them a cup of coffee to try to cover up for what I did wrong. That's that thing that's in us, but it's not the way it is spiritually. You can do all of the amount of good things you want to do. You can be the best of the best in terms of morality, but that doesn't mean you're going to see the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean there's new life. New life comes when you're born again. So what's he talking about here? This is important because this is a problem we as Americans have a hard time with when we talk about Christianity and we talk about Jesus. Is Jesus is not talking about modified living. He's talking about new life. He's not talking about an adult that gets their act together. He's talking about an adult that believes in Jesus and becomes a baby spiritually and grows and grows and grows, and new life begins. There's a birth. There is I need Jesus. There's a realization, I need my life to change. I need God in my life. And so therefore, God help me, rescue me. And so then I believe in him, born of the Spirit, new life comes. New life comes. It doesn't mean modified living. And a lot of times in American culture, there's this understanding where if I can know Jesus, I can have an understanding of what Jesus wants, I can just kind of adjust my lifestyle to fit whatever I might think God is asking of me. But no, that's not it. It's being born again. It's new life. It's starting over. It's coming to the realization, I can't live like this anymore. I need a new beginning. That's what the Bible promises us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that the old is passed away. So that means that the old life actually died. We're having a funeral for the old person. They're gone. No longer. I'm not trying to dress up the dead person. I am gone with that person. The old Charlie is gone. We're not trying to put new clothes on him to make him look better. He's completely gone with. Leave it behind, in other words, is what the writer is saying. And all things have become new. Don't you like new things? Don't you like new things? It's one thing when you buy a used car, but it's another thing when you buy a new car, right? It has a smell that the used car doesn't. The used car has like that, it's close enough. It'll work for now, for the affordable. But a new car, oh, it's like, nope, no one has touched this car. This is new. It's brand new. And this is what God is looking for us, is new life. God doesn't want from you and I the old, dressed up, trying to be better. Because listen, you can try and try and try all you want. The old habits, the old addictions, the old problems, they'll continue on. There has to come a moment where you realize, I must be born again. The old has to die, and I need Jesus, and I have to start over. It's not a life adjustment. It's starting over. It's not trying to modify my living. It's not trying to earn some type of status with God. Listen, you can do all the things in the world. You can't earn anything from God. God is not trying to give a paycheck. He gives gifts. He gives the gift of life. He gives the gift of freedom from addictions and bondage and all those things. It's giving that God does. It's not earning anything. He's not trying to get you to jump through some hoops so that you get some paycheck and gives you a W-2 at the end of the year. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus, I need you. And so listen, the resurrection is important because we understand that Jesus has conquered death, has conquered sin. This is why Paul began to sing a song in one of his letters. And he says, oh death, oh sin, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? Because Jesus has conquered it through that. So we must be born again. It doesn't matter, and we're just being real this morning. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. That's not going to earn you anything from God. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible. It's not going to earn you anything from God. It is, I must be born again. Listen, don't you think Nicodemus had some type of understanding about God? Here he is. Jesus is right before him. But he's missing out on this, and Jesus is trying to explain to him, you must be born again. So the next thing we see here, Jesus shows up and he tells him, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, I want you to keep that phrase in your mind, believe in him, may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. If you want to be born to live, you must be born again. And this thing right here is important. Believe in Jesus. Now, I know that sounds so simple, but we've complicated simple. And let's just look at this for a minute. Here is Nicodemus. Jesus has been on the streets long enough doing his ministry that he has seen with his eyes signs and wonders that Nicodemus is doing. He knows that Jesus is very real. He can reach out and touch him. He knows Jesus is right there. But what Nicodemus does not have is belief in Jesus. He very well believes that he's real and that he exists. He even acknowledges, God, you're doing signs. God must be with you. But does he believe in Jesus? There's a difference. If Jesus was right here in the middle of us, it doesn't matter how much I know about Jesus. And a lot of times we've equated our spiritual life to knowledge about Jesus. But listen, there are scholars, there are people who have studied this book to death and know all about it, but don't know Jesus, don't believe in him. Belief and knowledge are very different. You can know good things. You can know all the wonderful things about Jesus, but do you actually believe and trust what he said? It's the equivalent of a relationship in your life. The person that you trust the most, Of course you believe they're real. Just like you believe your coworkers real. They're not a figment of your imagination. You see them every day. You walk right past them every day. They're real, very real. But you also believe that person in your life is very real, that special person. You trust, but you also go deeper than when with a coworker. There's a level of trust that says, even my life is okay with you. I don't have to worry about my safety around you. I don't have to worry about my future around you because I trust you. This is the difference between belief and knowledge. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's that I just get comfortable with you to the point where I'm willing to give my life over to you. That's what is needed here, is belief in Jesus. And that's what Nicodemus, that's where his struggle had been all this time up until this point. He very well had knowledge about Jesus. Of course he acknowledged this guy's real. He's not a lunatic thinking, this guy, I'm seeing things. No, just like everybody else, he was seeing Jesus. But the thing that Nicodemus needed was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, they take the next step. Yes, God, you gave us your son. Yes, God, he came into the world. I acknowledge that. But I move from knowledge to trust. I move from knowing to giving my life over to you. And this is the hardest part of the Christian life, or this is the hardest part of coming to Jesus for most people. And what Jesus says later on, those who do what is true come to the light so that it may clearly seem that their deeds have been done in God. It's this coming to the light that most people have the problem with. We know about Jesus. He's done. We acknowledge, yes, the cross, the resurrection Sunday, it's all real. It happened, the Last Supper. Yep, I acknowledge that that happened. But it's belief. It's coming. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Because there are few who will acknowledge and believe in Jesus. I give my life over. I am putting my trust in Jesus. I am surrendering my control to Jesus. My life is safe in your hands. It's just as if I was saying, whatever you want for my life, I allow it because I believe in Jesus. I must be born again, but now I believe in you. I am handing my life over. Nicodemus had knowledge, but he needed life. He needed belief. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus moves and he says something here next. So if we're born again and we believe in Jesus, we're not just knowing about him, but we're trusting in him. He promises something here. He says, whoever believe in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. So this is a crazy statement, just as crazy as the other statement, as has often been said. If either Jesus is a lunatic or everything he said is true. So he said, you must be born again. But then he also said, you're born again and you're believing in me. Guess what? You're not going to die. Now you think that was crazy. That you're born again. This was really crazy. Walking around the streets telling people, you're not going to die. Believe in me. You're not going to die. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about now you've been born of the Spirit. Because Corinthians tells us the things that are seen are temporary. Everything I touch, it's temporary. This body is made of dust, it's going to return to the dust. All of these things are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We're not seeing spirit, but we must be born of the Spirit. It's that inward part. It's that sense inside of me that knows I need something more in my life. It's when I've gone through life and I've lived it how I wanted to, and I finally come to the place of realization that says, I can't go on like this anymore. What is that? Why is that happening to me? If God wasn't real, if God doesn't exist, why is there something in me that says, this isn't enough anymore? I need something more to satisfy my soul. I need something to keep living, because there's this yearning that is built into our DNA of our soul that says, the soul of apart from God dies, but the soul with God lives forever. It's built into us. We know it. We're grasping it. We've heard it. And now we must believe in it. And so he promises, you're not going to perish, but you're going to have eternal life. And he asked him, in John chapter 11, another miracle that happened, Jesus with Lazarus, and here he is, a dead man that had been dead 4 days in a tomb. And there he is talking to Martha about what happened to Lazarus. And Martha is crying and Mary's crying. And they're both saying, Jesus, if you had only showed up, he'd still be alive. If you'd only come a few days earlier. And Jesus says these wonderful words. It's words of truth about being born to live. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then, and watch what Jesus asked him, or asked Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's a question for all of us, just like he was telling Nicodemus. Do you believe this? Do you believe that everyone who lives and believes in Jesus will never die? Do you believe that? That's for your own sake. Own question to the Lord. It's the truth that most of us are afraid to admit, that acknowledges that there's life beyond this life. That this isn't the end, this is the beginning of eternity. That being born again, if I'm being born to live, there must be something more, right? Why, other than Jesus would tell him, you're not going to die, there's going to be more life. And we've often equated eternal life to some fictitious place of clouds and floating, and as if it was semi-real, but it's hard for us to get our mind around. But if Jesus, whom risen from the dead, the Bible says, appeared to those believers and to Mary, to the disciples, to Thomas, and to all of them. And then the Bible says he got in front of them, began to bless them, that risen Jesus, and began to ascend into heaven. They watched him. The Bible says in John 21, he's blessing them, and then he starts to ascend into heaven. And they're looking, and they're watching up. Now, don't you think they were looking for where he was going? Don't you think they were wondering, wow, this Jesus whom we've seen walking all our life is all of a sudden going up? We've never seen this before. But there's something that's in their mind that's making sense here. This Jesus whom we're talking about, he was dead, he's now alive, he's risen from the dead, and now he's risen to another place, to an eternal place. And the Bible said he took his seat at the right hand of God. That Jesus, to those disciples, can I tell you something, was very real. To Mary, when they saw Jesus risen from the dead, he was very real. There was no doubt. He is real. We've seen him. As a matter of fact, it was not just the 12, but the Bible says he appeared to 500 other people. And at one point, one of the New Testament writers said, many of them are still alive at the time of the writing, and some have died. So we know that there were other people who saw this happen. And so this very Jesus, he didn't just ascend and poof, he's gone. He went to a place that's very real. A place made for you and I. A place that we were made to live forever. A place that's designed for us. A place that's designed for life. A place that's designed to be with Jesus. Where Jesus promises there's not going to be a tear there. There's not going to be any weeping or sorrow or grief. There's going to be love, light, and life. That place, Jesus has promised for you. That's why Jesus said, he said, you ought to be glad that I'm leaving. Be glad that I'm leaving, because if I don't leave, then the Holy Spirit can't come. And I'm leaving because why? He told the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get a place ready for you. And eternal life has often been pitched as some end goal and marketing, as if you've got it, you come to that, and it's the end goal, and that's it, and I've got it. But it's not what it's about. Eternal life is more real than this life. If death, sorrow, and darkness exist on this place, and there's another place where none of that exists, then it must be more real. Then it must be more life and loving and moving and power than we could ever imagine. And so this is what Jesus is talking about when he tells Martha, do you believe this? Even though you die, we'll live. It's good news for all of us here today. That this body, it's a fleshly body. How many of you know it's not going on forever? It has its breaking points. And even now, we're feeling it, right? Every morning we wake up We know this body's not meant to live forever, but the soul, joy comes in the morning because the soul is meant to go on and on and on. The musicians are going to come. Jesus is not just alive. He is risen. Death is the final blow. That was what just take Jesus out, death. And if Jesus had remained dead, then that would have been one thing. But he didn't remain dead. He showed that he was dead for 3 days and rose again to show that for all of us, he died a gruesome death. God sent him because he loved us, and he overcame with power, victory, to show all of us here today, even though you die, we'll live. We'll live. And my friends, this morning, I just want to encourage you today. God wants you to be born to live. Born to live. Born again. Start over. Listen, I know life is rough. There's mistakes, there's problems, there's things we've done we're ashamed about, and sometimes we're even ashamed to admit it to God. But of course, he knows all about that. He knew all about it. He knew all about the sins of the world when he was on that cross, but he went anyways. And there they were beating him to death. And what his prayer was, God bring judgment on them, punish them. It was, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. Because that's love. It's being born to live. It's acknowledging that there's something more. There's got to be something more, right? God didn't create all that he created to just say, well, you get to live so many years of your life and that's it. No, that's futile. God created us because he loved us. And if he loved us, don't you think he wants to be with you and I forever and ever and ever and ever? To dwell in his goodness, a place where time, there is no confinement of time, where it's joy, love, light forevermore. That's what God wants for you. Would you just close your eyes with me right where you're at? Just search your own life for a minute. This morning, maybe you're coming to the realization, I must be born again. I pray today, that you would. Don't try to modify your living. Don't try to go to church and obtain something from God. That's not what it's about. It's about, Lord, I need new life. Believe in Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in him. And then make that your prayer. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to give my life to you. Like one man said a couple weeks ago here, as he was waiting a sentencing there in prison. God, if you could turn my life around, if you can keep them from killing me, he said, I'll serve you the rest of my life. So in that moment, he realized, what's needed? I need Jesus. Jesus. You don't have to know everything. It's belief. Trust in Jesus. Surrender to him. This morning, maybe that's you. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Pray God would come this morning, but you in your own way, call to him. Ask him. You say, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Just like you would ask your friend for help, ask Jesus for help. Jesus, I need you. I've made mistakes. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I need you today. I need that new life this guy's talking about. I need a new life. I'm tired of living with the old stuff hanging around me. New life. Lord, this morning, I pray for my friends here today that we might be born to live, Lord. Jesus, we want to be born again today, Lord. To that life you've promised us, not a place of absence, not a place of that's non-existent, but a place to go on and on for all of eternity, the place that you created for us because you love us. And you loved us so much, you bore your life upon a cross. And Lord, we thank you today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that those disciples, Mary and Martha, went into that tomb and they couldn't find you. They looked and they found a risen Jesus. You defeated death. You overcame sin. And you prove that no one through Jesus has to die, but there is life in you. You are the resurrection and life. So, Lord, this morning we turn our hearts to you. We need you this morning, Jesus. We need you. That's you this morning. Just lift up your voice to the Lord in your own way. I need you, Jesus. I need you. As the choir comes, we're going to thank him for risen. Jesus, we need you this morning. Oh God, help us. Forgive us. Take the old away. And may all things become new today. All things become new. Old addictions, let them die today, Lord. Old habits, let them die. Lord, old problems, let them die. And may all things become new today, Lord. Let it become new today. Let me start over like a baby, Lord. I've got to learn to walk again. I've got to learn to talk again. I've got to learn to live life spiritually all over again. And that's all right, Lord. But may you be my teacher. Lead me. Guide me, Lord. Direct my life. Because I'm looking forward to life with you forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord. Well, the rest of us will stand this morning if you're able. Maybe that's you today, resonating in your heart, just hitting you at home. If it's all right, would you just come and stand here at the front? We want to pray with you. Believe with you, agree with you. You're born to live today. God's day is today. Don't miss your day of visitation. Lord, we thank you this morning. We're going to sing this song all together.